Today we're in the third week of our series called Healthy Things Grow. And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 13. That's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. It's amazing, the song that we were singing, Never Once Did I Ever Walk Alone. I was just thinking about everybody's got a story. You know, everybody's got a story in here, and it doesn't matter kind of where your story starts, but the thing that I was amazed by is what we were really singing about is a term that John Wesley used to call prevenient grace. And it's really just an amazing, powerful testimony of how God walks with you even before you even know it. Never once do you ever walk alone. From the moment a baby is born, from the moment they're in the womb, God is with them. From the moment you, like, ever since you've been growing up, maybe you've never been in church. Maybe you've been in church your whole life, but God's been faithful and been walking with you. And I want you to know that today we're going to be talking about discipleship and what does that look like. And really, discipleship is a word that just means growing in Christ. And as we're doing this series, Healthy Things Grow, if you haven't been with us over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the importance of growth. The importance of growth for our life. And we all know, really in every area of our life, most of us want to grow. When you take your child to the doctor, you hope for their physical that they have grown. If they haven't grown, something might be wrong. And so you want them to grow. Same thing with your investments. You want your investments to grow. We want our church to grow. And most of us want our relationship with the Lord to grow because anything that's healthy naturally grows. But what I've found is that growth is really a result of something that's healthy. And just let that sink in. Growth is a result of something that's healthy. And oftentimes, and I catch myself doing this, I want growth to happen in a certain area of my life or a certain area of our church or a certain area in your business or whatever. But oftentimes, we're not willing to take the steps to pursue being healthy in order to facilitate that growth. Anything that's alive naturally grows. It actively moves. It changes. It adapts so that it can produce more. Because healthy things naturally grow. And so it's the case with our spiritual lives, and it's also the case with the church. The first week, this is our three-week series, and our first week we talked about the importance of our spiritual lives to grow. We talked about in John chapter 15 how Jesus said that we are the branches, but he's the vine, and that we can grow in our lives if we connect to a true and living vine. And we can bear fruit if that happens as well, spiritual fruit that lasts. But it's one of those things, if we disconnect ourselves from a vine, branches can't hold themselves up by themselves. And also, they're not going to produce any fruit if it's not connected to a true and living vine. So is the case with our spiritual lives. We've got to be connected to Jesus. But also, growth is God's plan for the church. And we talked about that last week. Kind of what is God's growth plan? The whole mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ all over the world, every single person, to lead them into a growing relationship with Jesus. And so if you're here with us last week, we talked about Jesus's discipleship plan, Jesus's plan for discipling people. If you missed last week, I really encourage you to go back and check it out. It's something that we're focusing in on as a church, how Jesus discipled the crowd first. He had just kind of a general impact on the crowd. Everybody heard his words and heard him talking. And so for us, we can have a general impact by the way we live our life on the crowd. But then Jesus also called out of the crowd 12 people to be the committed, his disciples. And he followed them, or they followed him around. They were his disciples. And he taught them how to make disciples. He taught them how to live this Christian life and everything like that. But what most people don't realize, I mean, that would kind of be more like a small group or a refresh group is what we do. But what most people don't realize is that Jesus had another category that some have called the core. And really, it's three people that Jesus had called out of the 12 disciples to specifically invest everything he could into them. James, John, and Peter. He took them to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he showed them things that he didn't show some of the other disciples. Now, it didn't mean he didn't love the other disciples. He loved the disciples more than anything. But he invested in three people, spent 3 years doing that. And so for us, this gives us a great model for how we can disciple people. Because the mission of the church isn't just for the church or for the pastors to disciple people, but for you to be disciple makers. You can be a disciple maker. And so last week, if you were here, we put together what's called an impact card. We filled out an impact card. Three people that God puts on your heart, puts on, to become your core. three people that you're going to pray for, mentor, and share Jesus with them. So I encourage you to do that. But in light of that, here's what we're reading this morning. Matthew chapter 13. This is so closely tied to that mission. That's why I share that. Matthew chapter 13. We're reading verses 1 through 9. And then Jesus explains this parable. Thank you, Jesus. Doesn't usually explain parables, but this is one time Jesus does this in verses 18 through 23. So let's stand this morning in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. And it says this. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by a lake. Such large crowds gathered around that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. So you can imagine it's so incredibly crowded. So he had to like kind of get out of the way and get on the boat because everybody, the crowd was wanting to hear from him. And so then it says verse 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And now turn to verse 18. This is Jesus explaining this parable. Jesus says this. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Thank you, Jesus, for telling us that. It says this in verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Then the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with so much joy. I added so much. Received it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Then the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Well, Jesus is speaking in a parable, and a parable is just a word picture. It's just a word picture to really talk about a spiritual principle. So he's not really talking about soil here, obviously. He kind of explained what he's talking about, but it's a parable of the soils. And notice Jesus first shares with the crowd. He shares with the whole crowd. Here's what the parable is. And some are like, I don't understand what you're saying, Jesus. And so, in fact, I bet you many of the disciples didn't get what he was saying either. And so he brings them to the side. He's like, okay, core. He doesn't call them the core, but he said, all right, disciples, come here. Let me share with you now what this means. And so you see Jesus having an impact on the crowd, but also mentoring and discipling the core, his committed. And so, here's why this parable, though, is important for us. It really talks about how different people respond to the word of God. We all respond by one of these four soils. I can see myself in one of these soils, and maybe we're different types of soil at different times, but we all receive it in one of these types of soils. And so you can kind of discern, which soil am I right now? Where am I as far as hearing the word of God, and how am I letting that come into my life or not? And the other thing that it helps is as we are discipling people, as we're helping people to grow in Jesus, everybody responds in one of these four ways. And so it helps us to know how do people respond. And if we know how people respond, we can more easily help them to take those steps and those leaps in order to be the good soil. Because let's face it, we all want to be the good soil. So the parable goes like this. The sower. Now, first of all, the reason we showed you this video is I'm a city boy, and when I hear a sower, I think of like stitching or something like that. I mean, I'm serious. So you get to see, we got some Texas people in here that are used to, farming and stuff like that. But seriously, a sower just goes out to sow seeds, planting. Planting imagery everywhere, all throughout the Bible. And the sower is basically God. It's only talked about in verse 3. That's the only time, but verse 3, God is the ultimate cause of everything that grows. It's the only time it's talked about, but it's the ultimate cause of everything that grows. And so what happens is God sows seeds or spreads the word of God, shares his love to all different types of soil. And so because the soil falls on all different paths, what does that say about the love of God? What does that say about God's desire to connect with every person? What does that say that the word is spread to every single person and love to every person? What does that say about who Jesus was willing to die for on the cross? Because I don't know about you, there's a whole lot of people that I share the gospel with or that hear the message of Christianity, and they say, yes, Jesus loved them. Jesus came and died for them, but Jesus could never do anything in my life. If you knew everything that I'd done in my life, you'd realize that I'm excluded from this. And no, Jesus scatters the seed on every single person. God doesn't just spread the gospel to those who will favorably respond. Now, this is kind of one of those things. If you're baseball is about the only time where if you bat 300, if you hit the ball 3 times out of 10, then you're successful. God spreads seeds everywhere. And God invests in people's life. But ultimately, it's up to us as to how we respond. And God's willing to spread seed or to spread the word, to spread his love to people who maybe will even reject him. To even people who might never even say yes to him. But Jesus loves them anyway. It's like Jesus saw us and how we would respond and decided to say, I don't care what you've done. I don't care all of your past. I know it. I see it. But yet I'm willing to die for you anyway. That's why so many times as we've been reading the 24 hours that really led up to the cross and our refresh groups, that's why there's criminals everywhere. Barabbas gets to walk away free as the innocent Jesus is the one that gets crucified. I can see myself in Barabbas, that prisoner who gets to walk away free because Jesus dies in my place. But also, as you remember, Jesus died alongside of 2 prisoners. And they were probably thinking, what is this guy? I mean, just tell him you're innocent. Just say that you're not the Son of God. Get down from the cross and we can just, you can just get out of this thing. They had done all these things wrong, but yet Jesus dies alongside of these horrible prisoners. It's trying to show us that no matter where we are, no matter who we are, God came for us. And so when we sing a song like Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing Grace, it really is amazing when you realize the magnitude of really the gift that God has been willing to give to those who might not ever receive it, who might not ever want to receive it, who maybe turn it away. And so God pursues every person regardless of their openness to receive the word. That's one of the amazing things to me about God. God spreads the word to every single person. And so God's ultimate desire is to make disciples. He's trying to make disciples of every single person, to turn not to just convert people, but to lead people into life, hope, purpose, and wholeness, to make you complete, to make you whole, and to make everybody whole. But it's up to each person and how we respond. As a pastor, one of the things that I'm blown away by is the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. The opportunity to lead people into a relationship as good as this. Oftentimes if you're familiar with sales or if you've seen sales happen. In fact, I walked into a department store and you get the whole thing when you check out. Would you like to buy a credit card? Da, 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 and they're really trying to push. You can save 5% or 10% or 100% or whatever it is. And they know, they're like trying to push this because they get commission off of it. But also stores are pushing this because they know you're probably not going to cancel it and you're going to go into debt over it. And so it benefits them. So they're pushing something that's not really helpful for you. But they're saying, oh, you just got to have this. The gospel is not like that. The gospel is such good news. It's one of those things where we could sell it so much, but you can't oversell the product. Jesus is there's no strings attached. It's grace that's given to every single person. And so God's grace is too deep to oversell. And so one of the joys of being a follower for every single one of us is we have the opportunity to look people in the eye and even to look at the mirror ourselves and say, no matter what I've done, no matter what you've done, no matter your past, no matter your sins, Jesus died for me. And so when we get to that point in that song that says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The hardest thing to do sometimes is to put ourselves into that story. and to put ourselves and the nails that went into Jesus' hand and to realize those nails were for me. These open arms were for me. Jesus came for you. You were bought at a price. That's good news, y'all. And on Easter, we celebrate that that's not the end of the story. When we get up on Sunday morning next week, we'll celebrate that he's alive and he can make you alive. Now, I'm preaching, but we'll move back to this text a little bit. Most of us want to be the good soil. Let's face it. We're reading this and we're like, yeah, the path and the thorns and all the other soil. We want to be the good soil. We all want to be the good soil. In fact, I want to see myself as the good soil. Let's face it. We all want to be there. But oftentimes, you know, we want to eagerly, you know, receive God's word and put it into practice and produce fruit. But sometimes we find ourselves just by, we don't mean to, but we find ourselves as one of the other soils. Oftentimes we don't mean to be there, and sometimes we don't even know how we got there. But we're more like the other soils. And we often find ourselves longing to be that good soil, but sometimes we don't even know how to even get back to there. And so one of the places that we often find ourselves, as Jesus says, is oftentimes people find themselves, and you see other people find themselves on soil that's more like the path. Now you can imagine a sidewalk in your neighborhood or something like this, hard ground. And if you're to throw seed on this hard ground, what's going to happen? Not much. The birds are going to come by, not inside, but if you're outside, the birds will come by and will eat up this. I mean, there's no way anything's going to grow out of this. It's hard, hard soil. In fact, you can probably not even really call it soil because it's so compacted. And so, you know, there's no soil there and it's hard to penetrate. And oftentimes, it's people who are just so closed off from the gospel. And maybe they don't mean to be closed off. I mean, people don't go into it like, all right, I'm just going to resist everything about God. But oftentimes, something happens in our lives. Something happens in the lives of those in your core or in the committed that you're around. And sometimes things happen like, a circumstance or a bad church experience. Maybe a pastor or a church member says something and you're like, if that's who Jesus is, I'm out. That is not what I... And oftentimes, those bad church experiences taint the gospel that's such good news and prevent people and harden people's hearts to say, if that's what it looks like, I'm never given it another chance. And so people don't mean to have hard hearts. Sometimes what happens is that the wounds that they carry, people put up a big fence to say, I'm not letting anything come in here because that hurt the last time and I'm not letting anything penetrate that again. You know, one of the things that happens, and you may not realize this for the church-going folks, that there is a force field around this building. Now, it's not here on Monday through Friday, but there is a force field that prevents people from wanting to come into this space to worship the Lord. And you can't see it. It's invisible. But it's one of those things where there's so many people who have this, who maybe there's not a force field anywhere else, and maybe it's not a force field in their heart, but they put this fence around the building to say, I've had a bad experience in the past. I've seen new churches in the past. I've whatever else. Something's happened to me and I'm angry at God, and all of a sudden there's this force field around the space and you can't see it and it's hard to do anything about it. So that's why this church is called to be a different church. It's called to really be the church that Jesus wants us to be, wants all churches to be, is to be a church that says, you know what, maybe people aren't willing to come here, but we're willing to go there because Jesus was willing to go there and to step out of heaven and into earth and to come and live among us. This is the church God has called us to be, to go to where people are, to disciple them and to say, let me show you a more real expression. We're not perfect. We don't have it all figured out. But that you experienced before, we're not going to talk bad about it, but let me just show you the goodness of God and what God's done in my life. And as people encounter that in you outside of the force field, it allows them to take steps to enter into this place that might be restricted in their hearts. Does that make sense? This is the hard soil. So another place that we might hear sometimes we find ourselves upon rocky places. Now there's a little bit of soil in the rocky places. Think about like up in the mountains. You're really high up in the mountains. You've hiked the Appalachian Trail a little bit. I know a few people have done that in here, or at least part of it. But you're up on this mountain. There's a little bit of grass. There's a little bit of soil, but there's not much. And oftentimes we don't mean to be in the rocky places, but you know what happens is things grow up really fast because the soil is so shallow. And so it grows up really, really, really fast in the rocky places. And you may know someone who, kind of like this, who gets really, really excited about God when they first hear the gospel. And they're like, yeah, God, I'm going to go to all the Christian conferences and get the Christian, everything, Christian, and so excited about God. And they jump in with both feet with tons of passion. And let me tell you, we can learn something from people with a ton of passion for the Lord, because I think that's the type of Christians that people are wanting to see. Because God, what God does, when Jesus came and poured the Holy Spirit into people in Acts chapter 2, there was so much passion. It wasn't passion that they just kind of conjured up. It was something where the Holy Spirit blew into their lives. God came into their lives. And they were so on fire for who he was that they just wanted to share it with everybody. We should be people with passion. But for the people who find themselves on the rocky places, passion is about where it stops. Passionate for just a little short time, and then it stops there. The scripture kind of describes it and gives us a picture of someone who jumps from one interest, to the next thing, to the next thing. And it's one of those things where it's hard for anything to take root. It's almost like Jesus becomes the flavor of the month. We get real excited, and then we're on to a different flavor. And it might not be a religious thing. It might just be something else we do. And so the only thing, though, that's missing for the soil is deep roots. Roots are what connects us and grounds us and roots us in God. And this is someone who loves the gospel at first, but doesn't desire to grow any deeper in their faith. This is why discipleship is a huge, huge, huge deal. We don't want to be the soil that's so shallow and on rocky places. God wants you to grow in your faith. In fact, another example that I kind of give you is it's almost like people who want to swim in the kiddie pool with the swimmies on in their faith, you know, when there's this huge, deep ocean of grace waiting for us to swim in. Well, we swim in the swimming pool and with our swimmies on, we say, I just want to stay right where I am. And if we do that, what happens is, you know what happens in the kiddie pool, y'all. I mean, the water's sitting there for a long time. You're swimming in the kiddie pool, and all of a sudden you realize the water's become unhealthy because either you or somebody else has peed in the pool. I mean, let's just face it. And this is what happens so many times. And so circumstances happen in their lives, and you're like, I'm getting out of this pool, and I'm going on to a different pool. I'm going on to something else. God doesn't want us to just swim in the kiddie pool with our swimmies on. You see what I'm saying? God wants us to grow to maturity and to become the people God has created us to be. I don't like swimming in kiddie pools. I'll never get in those things. But anyway, the next example, or just another example of this, is, you know, somebody gets sick sometimes. Somebody gets sick in your life, or the demands of Christianity become really hard. And for somebody like this, it's like, you know what? Like, I just wanted an easy thing. I wanted to just, you know, do this thing and check my box and move on. And that's kind of defines that. And this is why we need discipleship big time. We need to grow in Jesus. The third place that we find ourselves, this is just going through the parable. This is nothing. It's almost like making a list. The third place we find ourselves is on the soil that's really growing up and it's crowded with thorns. Now, here's the thing that I realized as I was studying this week. The soil that's filled with thorns is good soil. Man, it's good soil. Things grow up really well there. In fact, a lot of things grow up there. Thorns are growing up and weeds are growing up. Jesus tells a parable about the weeds right after that, how they grow together with the wheat. But let's face it, you don't mean to let anything get between you and the Lord. We don't want to do that. But oftentimes, we don't mean to do that, but other things grow up that become a chasm between us and the Lord. It's almost like you see this, almost like if the rug is just this huge chasm and we can't seem to penetrate that and cross over it. And we're connecting to so many other vines, as the vine and branches talk about. And the only way for us to cross over that is for the cross of Jesus to bridge the gap so that we can walk over and that we can have a relationship with God. But if we cling to anything else, we're never going to be able to cross this. That's the gospel, and that's the good news, is that Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid it all. And so the third place, oftentimes we don't mean to be there, but sometimes life just happens. Or we start getting worried about everything. Start getting really worried about stuff, or we get really busy, and we start to maybe lose focus on our relationship with the Lord, and we don't mean to. We mean well, we love Jesus and all this stuff, but other things are growing up that starts to crowd the work that God can do in our lives. And so, I mean, it's not that fruit doesn't produce, but maybe it starts to produce, but because of all the other things going on in our lives, it hinders us from becoming and bearing fruit the way God intends. We don't produce 100, 60, 30 times. Maybe just do a little bit, or hardly any fruit grows because it gets choked off. You know, I believe this is one of the soil types. If you think of the Church of America, this is kind of the definition. I would say the church in America, where a lot of people, a lot of Christians sit. It's not that we don't like Jesus. It's not that we don't want to grow in our faith. But oftentimes, all the things that we're pursuing, all the other things that we're pursuing, oftentimes prevent and choke us from being able to experience, not choke us, but choke off the good fruit God wants to bear in our life. And prevents us from growing the way God intends, like the good soil. There's a lot of other things that grow in our, you know, they receive the word and they want it to grow in their heart, but there's a whole lot of other things that are growing in their field. See what I'm saying? You know, they attach themselves to other things, and it could be just distractions like busyness or worry or lack of focus. Or one of the big things that I find, and I have to catch myself even as a pastor, is this Jesus plus idea. That oftentimes it's like, I would only be happy if I had, yes, Jesus, I'm happy in you, but if I had Jesus plus something else. And oftentimes, if it's ever Jesus plus something else, the thing is, if it's Jesus plus something else, that can choke off the faith God wants to have us, because God wants to be our everything. God can sustain us and can pour into us. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the is living water for our souls and can nourish us like nothing else can. And when we add Jesus plus anything else, it removes him from the lordship of our life in those areas and prevents him and prevents us from growing in him. And so this is like, man, this is tough stuff. What do we do with all this? Discipleship is so important. Growing in our faith is so important. And so we all want to be the good soil. You know, Jesus makes it clear that it's the best. We all want to be the good soil. The good soil are people who receive the word of God and the message that God has of love and grace. We receive it on good soil. It means we're open to it and we want to grow. You know, that's what good soil means. It's people who are open to the Lord. It's almost like no cap has been put on the hose of our life. It's opened up and ready for God to flow in, and we want to grow. Even if it means that at times it's going to be painful, we want to grow. And so Jesus says that if we're like the good soil, it produces a crop 100 times, 60 times, or 30 times more than that one seed that God sowed. Now I'm not a farmer. I already said I don't know anything about this stuff, but I do know 100 times more is crazy growth. That's supernatural growth, and that's what Jesus is trying to say. If you abide in me, I will bear fruit in your life, and I will make so many disciples because you abide in me, that you'll be so amazed, and so will so many other people, that the world will be a different place because you abided in me and you reached out to people. You know, the disciples, Jesus called 12 misfit disciples, poured everything he could into them, and turned them loose. He was a crazy leader. He was a good leader. He turned them loose. They knew not everything, but he taught them how to make disciples, and he turned them loose. And every single one of us who are sitting in a chair and all those who claim to be Christians today are disciples of Jesus because they said yes, because they were willing to make disciples. And God produced a harvest in their lives that were 160, 30 times. What if God could do the same thing with you? Because here's the thing I know, is that you may know some people, and you may be thinking in your head, and maybe this is you, but maybe it's other people you think of who are on the hard path that you've been praying for and trying to mentor and sharing Jesus with them. Here's what I know. If you keep doing that, if you're standing on good soil, it can produce and make up for those who don't respond. It can lead people into growth in Christ. It can lead people to bridge that gap, to break the force field that prevents them from coming to Christ. And you can be the one that Jesus uses to produce a harvest in their life. It's the same thing with the rocky soil and with the thorns. If you're on good soil, you can bring those into the good soil and to say, come on in, the water's fine. You know, and so here's the difference. Here's the difference in people with the good soil and everybody else. It's really, they desire to grow and they're open. It's not like those who are hardened by the gospel, or it's not like those who are just swimming in the kiddie pool wanting to just stay where they are. And it's not like those who let everything else grow up and it distracts them from their faith. Those in the good soil want to have a relationship with Christ, and they want They want to do what it takes to facilitate that growth, because growth doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen by just chance. It happens as we're abiding daily in Jesus, as we're pursuing Jesus. Things like seeking Christ by reading the Word. Now, maybe you grew up never even reading the Word. That's okay. Awesome. Dig into the Word. Dig into Jesus, and God will reveal things in your life and will move you to further growth. Spend some time praying to God. Things like going to church. You're here. Awesome. This is a big deal, because we're elbow by elbow in the huddle learning about what it means to be a disciple, and then we're sent out to run the play of going and making disciples. So it's another thing is those who have good soil are concerned with obedience to God instead of their own comfort. Man, that's hard. That's a hard word for me, because I tell you what, I sure like my comfort zone. And I don't like anything crossing my force fields of the comfort zones that I put up. But disciples of Jesus are willing to do what it takes to pursue Jesus and to be obedient to God, even if it means it costs us something. And so it takes energy to do that. And so those in the good soil, they don't let any objects like rocks or thorns or hard soil develop in their field. They keep pursuing Jesus. And I hope that's you. I want that to be you. And God wants that to be you. But God's way of doing that and cultivating that is really in community. It doesn't happen when we just follow God alone. I mean, I talk to people all the time and say, yeah, the church burned me. I don't like the church. The music's bad. The preacher's awful. Whatever. You know, whatever the excuses are. But here's the thing. It's like, let's just tell the truth. Sometimes we have bad experiences, right? But that doesn't change the greatness of our God. It doesn't matter what past experiences we bring in. Oftentimes, one of the hardest things for me to do when I was in college is I would go to some places where I'm a music major, where the music was awful. It was bad. And I would have to check my heart and say, Lord, in this storm of notes of whatever's going on, I'm going to worship you. Because just because something isn't right and something we experience in the reflection of the gospel doesn't taint the message itself. God is still good, and God still wants us to grow. So the best way that we do this is in community. And that's why it's important for us to be connected in a discipleship group, to be in a refresh group, to be in some kind of group that helps you to grow in the Word. It's a community group in some ways, but most importantly, you pursue Jesus together in community, and you come out changed because you've grown spiritually together. So I want to encourage you to connect with other people, to grow in your faith, because that's God's desire for your life. And when Jesus went to the cross, I want you to know that he did so to open the door for you to have a growing relationship with him. And so today we celebrate the act of Holy Communion. It's a sacrament, which means it's an outward sign of something God does on the inside. And it's not hocus pocus. It's not like God suddenly, we're eating and drinking Jesus. But what it means is when we come to this table, these elements of bread and juice, that's all it is. Suddenly, if we come by faith, become more than that, that God does something in our heart when we receive it. That God can do things to communicate to you that he loves you, that he'll sustain you, that he'll pour into you. And it helps us to remember what Jesus has won for you on the cross. Because I want you to know that you were bought at the highest price. And God wants you to grow in that.